Good evening. This is Peter Tobin introducing Lux Radio Theater. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theater presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. This week we present The Gift by Mary Lumsden. Julie Dennison, studying to be a doctor, is blinded in a laboratory accident. She naturally turns for help to her brother-in-law, Sir David Crossley, who is a brilliant eye specialist. Julie was once in love with David, and her sister, Lady Elizabeth Crossley, has feelings of guilt and doubt over her marriage to David. Elizabeth decides to make a sacrifice which involves them all in great anguish and heartbreak. The Gift has been adapted by Laura Kingsley, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Sir David's fashionable patients think of this consulting room.
And why should they think anything, Mr. Alistair?
Well, it's so extraordinarily old-fashioned. More like a, what was the word they used to use? A withdrawing room.
His patients find it restful.
I suppose so. But I suppose such a brilliant eye specialist can afford to be different.
Different?
Different, Miss Hooper. Now, if my consulting room was not all space-age glitter, my patients would doubt my efficiency.
There is no disputing, Sir David.
You're so right, Hoopy, darling. I wish I had even a quarter of his brain and expertise.
You're not doing so badly, Mr. Alistair.
Thank you, Hoopy. Coming from the great man's secretary, that's high praise indeed.
No, you don't really need it. He'd hardly have taken you on as his assistant unless you merited it. And what are you doing in his consulting room anyway? Shouldn't you be in your own?
No, I was hoping to borrow some of his contact lenses. How about it, Hoopy?
No. He took them all to America with him.
All of them? Oh, come off it, Hoopy.
I thought you had a patient waiting.
I have, but there's some very up-to-the-minute magazines in my consulting room.
Oh, really? Why are you never punctual?
Oh, something in the air. The disease of my generation.
Now, Sir David...
Never keeps a patient waiting, I know. Sir David high on his pinnacle.
You sound rather sour.
Oh, believe me, I didn't mean to. Just admiring. Even as a student, I admired him. So single-minded, so... dedicated, reserved, a confirmed bachelor. That lot any of us knew.
Oh, he was a bachelor then.
That's what I said, Hoopy.
You implied something else.
Did I?
A sort of oblique hint at his marriage. You always manage to bring that up somehow.
Oh, if I do, it's accidental. By the way, have you heard from Julie?
I wondered when you'd get around to asking about your girlfriend.
She isn't my girlfriend.
I believe bird is the popular term.
Hoopy! Such vulgarities from you! Miss Julie Dennison is not my girlfriend, my bird, my... In fact, she's not.
But I understood.
I don't care what you thought you understood. It's all in the past. I merely wondered if she'd contacted you.
Well, about what?
About what time Sir David and Lady Crossley are due back. After all, she is Elizabeth Crossley's sister.
The jumbo is due to touch down at London Airport at 3:30.
Did she inquire?
Julie, she telephoned not 5 minutes before you strolled in here.
She's keen on Sir David herself, isn't she?
Not as far as I know.
Oh, don't try and be the discreet secretary. It sticks out a mile.
Does it?
You must know it does. Where did they first meet?
In Rome. Sir David was there for a series of conferences on ophthalmic surgery. Uh-huh. He was staying at the British Embassy, and both Julie and Elizabeth, or Lady Crossley as she is now, were on the embassy staff.
And both fell for him.
Oh, that's years ago. And I don't know that I ever heard that Julie...
I suppose she's dashing off to meet them.
Julie? No.
Oh, why ever not?
Well, on the phone just now, she told me that she'd been ill.
Ill? What's wrong?
I always think that's an indiscreet question. And frankly, Mr. Alistair, I don't know.
Perhaps that's why she was so offhand last Saturday when I phoned her for the first time in weeks. Hoopy, could that be the reason?
More than likely.
Oh, Miss Hooper, you're a doll.
I'm a patient and long-suffering middle-aged spinster with work to do. Oh, must you behave like a schoolboy, Mr. Alistair?
I wish you'd give up this medical bee.
She's coming round here.
What? Now?
Now. To be here when Sir David and Lady Crossley arrive.
Actually able to tear herself away from her studies for an hour.
Don't you want her to be a doctor, Mr. Alistair?
Not particularly.
Well, what do you want?
A wife. I suppose you think that's pretty old-fashioned.
I am old-fashioned.
Yes, of course. Hoopy, I'm selfish enough to resent being spared the odd moment between the study of anatomy and physics. What are you laughing at?
If I tell you, I'm afraid you won't think me old-fashioned after all. Oh, Mr. Alistair... If she doesn't seem to have had much time for you recently, It isn't because she's had her nose in textbooks.
No?
Well, in addition to having been ill, she's been away.
Look here, are you sure?
Mr. Alistair, your patient has already been waiting 10 minutes. Will you please go?
Oh, what a slave driver you are, Hoopy.
You've called me a darling, a doll, and a slave driver, all within one short space. Now get along with you, Mr. Alistair.
If you insist, Miss Hooper, if you insist.
Oh, I can't think why the young mixture muddle up their affairs. Oh, hello, Miss Dennison. I was so busy checking through these lenses of Sir David's, I didn't realize you'd arrived.
Hi, Miss Hooper. How are you?
Busy. Everything must be just so for Sir David's return. They should be here any minute.
No flight delays?
No, I checked.
Well, I was afraid they might have arrived before I did. I grabbed a taxi.
Extravagant.
And wicked, but I didn't feel equal to walking round or catching a bus.
You don't look too good, Julie. What has been the matter?
I was involved in an accident.
Oh, my dear. A car?
No. No, it was something else. I suppose my brother-in-law has come back to shoals of patients.
Oh, not so much shoals as oceans.
All the same, do you think you could fit me in as soon as possible, Hoopy? Please.
But your brother-in-law is an eye specialist, not a... Is it your eyes?
Yes.
How urgent is it?
Desperately.
But didn't you think to consult Mr. Alistair?
Justin? Well, no, I didn't want Justin to know. It's David I want to consult. No one else. Hoopy, please.
Oh, let's take a look at the book. Yes, now, his first appointment is for 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Supposing you got here at 8:30.
Bless you. I'll be here.
Oh, that's fixed, then. Now I'll go and check that everything is in order elsewhere. I expect they'll be dying for tea when they come.
Oh, Justin. Hello.
You're waiting for Dave and Beth.
I expect Beth's giving the immigration people a hard time. You know what a souvenir hunter she is.
Quite. But you mean customs.
Oh, I suppose I do. I don't seem to be thinking very straight these days.
Why not?
The last time they went to the States, they had to return by sea because she came back with an Adam fireplace.
How typically your sister.
Yes.
I may be taken to the air myself soon.
Oh, really? Holiday?
No. The fact is, I've been and gone and applied for a job in South Africa.
Well, they won't give it to you on the strength of your grammar.
They may not give it to me at all. Julie, why have you been avoiding me? What's happened?
Happened? Justin!
Oh, for Pete's sake, must you shudder away because I put my hand on your arm? Yes, Julie, what's happened to us?
Oh, I wish you wouldn't be so intense.
Yes, someone else, I suppose.
No.
Not even David.
Justin!
I'd have to be half blind not to know you're crazy about your brother-in-law.
He's Beth's husband.
What's that got to do with it?
Everything. I adore Beth.
You still haven't answered my question about David.
All right. I was crazy about him when I was a silly little secretary in the embassy at Rome years ago. Well, long before I decided to study medicine. He chose Elizabeth. And I forgot I'd had a crush on him. Now you know.
Do I?
Yes, Justin. Yes.
Are you going to go in for flat shoes and a white coat?
What?
When you're a doctor, madly efficient with your hair in a bun and hands that smell of carbolic. That's better, darling.
You know perfectly well that women doctors aren't like that anymore.
Must you qualify? You know I'm nuts about you.
Oh, I'm very fond of you, Justin.
Oh, for heaven's sake, you sound like something out of a Jane Austen novel.
So what about you with your thing about women doctors, if that's not absolutely mid-Victorian?
I don't want to wait for you to... All right, go ahead and qualify, and then marry me.
Oh, Justin, go to South Africa if you get the chance. Make a new life there. Find someone else.
The big renunciation.
Justin, please.
There is some other bloke, isn't there? Other than David.
No, I told you.
Have you never wanted to get married?
Once.
What happened to him? Was he killed?
No. Where's my handbag?
Oh. That was a bit clumsy. It was
best. What have I broken?
Don't you know?
Tell me, please.
The little china cupid.
But it was always on the mantelpiece.
Today it was on the coffee table, at your elbow.
Is it badly broken?
Julie?
Is it badly broken? Beyond repair?
Julie, you can't see, can you?
No.
Is this your illness? Your holiday?
Yes. Don't say anything to them. Don't spoil their homecoming.
You've got to consult David today.
Tomorrow.
Today, promise. Oh, my dearest girl.
Julie, my darling.
Oh, welcome home, Beth.
Hello, Justin. Oh, how marvelous to see you both. And Julie, what a relief.
Relief?
Well, because you weren't at the airport and I had this awful feeling that you were ill or something.
Did you have a good flight?
Oh, you know what aeroplanes do to me, darling.
Beth is always convinced she could manage so much better than the pilot.
Oh, David.
How are you, Julie?
Mr. Alistair, your next patient.
Oh, blow. Why must people be on time?
How many of my patients have you pinched while I've been away?
Only the wealthiest.
If you don't come now, you won't have a practice.
All right. See you all later.
All right. Justin, come back for a sherry.
I'd love to.
Oh, Justin seems in good form.
We're all in good form. How was America?
I never know quite how to answer that.
Well, David's trip was a terrific success, except that... Well, how do you think he's looking?
Oh, as fit as a fiddle.
Tactful girl. He hates being told the tour took it out of him. He's dropped pounds, as you can see.
Well, it suits him.
Oh, no, it doesn't. He needs a holiday. Cornwall clotted cream rest.
Oh, nonsense, Beth.
No, it isn't nonsense.
I've brought you some tea.
Hoopy, you're an angel.
Unless, of course, you'd rather have it in the lounge.
No. Here's lovely, and then David could look through his correspondence. You have a cup with us, Hoopy?
Thank you, no. I'm helping Mr. Alistair out. His cards are in a bit of a muddle.
<Not surprised.
laughs> What a gem that woman is.
Isn't she just? Julie, you go ahead and pour the tea, because I want to go and get something out of my case. A bit of nonsense I brought back for you that I know you'll simply adore.
Aren't you going to pour the tea, Julie? You can't, can you?
Is it so obvious?
To me, yes. I've been watching you ever since I came through that door.
Oh, I shouldn't have come today. I should have made an excuse, but I wanted to see you so desperately, David. Oh, see.
Julie.
I can hardly see at all.
What happened?
A chemical experiment. An explosion. And I opened my eyes. Nothing but darkness and shadows. Oh, David, the pain nearly drove me out of my head.
Come over here to the light and let me look. It's all right. Just give me your hand.
Well, I can't find the thing I wanted. I must have packed it. Oh, am I interrupting something?
Beth,
Come
in and shut the door. I've something to tell you.
Oh, what is it?
Julie has had an accident and been blinded.
Blind? You, Julie?
Oh, no, darling. It was an experiment I was doing. There was an explosion and...
But why on earth didn't you cable us immediately?
Julie, can you distinguish between light and darkness?
Yes.
How many fingers am I holding up now?
Two, I think.
Good. And now?
I don't know. Don't stand so far away.
I'm less than a yard from you.
Why didn't Justin inform us?
I didn't tell him. I was in hospital.
Who was your specialist?
Dunlop.
He's an excellent man. But he seems to me to have discharged you a bit early.
I discharged myself. I was so afraid of not being your patient. I'll be able to abide by your verdict, David. I will truly, but... Oh, I wish I was...
Dead, Julie, don't.
I'll never be a doctor now, never. I'll be like this for the rest of my life, won't I? David, tell me.
I don't know.
Don't try and be kind.
I'm being clinical.
Is there hope?
I simply can't say until I've run some tests. Beth, ring up that flatmate of your sister and tell her Julie will be staying with us.
No, I'd rather not.
My dear girl, if you're to be my patient, you'll do as I say. Now... Let's all have a cup of tea, shall we? Well, Julie, we've done all the tests we need to do, and I've had Gavin's report.
Yes, Hoopy told me.
It's been a wretched week for you, I know. By the way, how did you like Gavin?
He's charming. David, why did you send me to him?
Because I value his opinion. We've had a long talk about you.
David, don't beat about the bush. Tell me quickly.
You have one of the few blinded conditions that respond to surgery.
You mean I might see again?
Yes.
Well, what
sort of surgery?
It's only the windows of your eyes that are damaged, the outer covering, not the optic nerve.
Oh, what sort of surgery, David?
A keratoplasty.
A corneal graft?
Yes. Healthy corneas from the eyes of the newly dead are grafted into the eyes of the blinded living.
And that can be done for me?
Yes, but only if
we can... believe that I'll see again. You don't know what it's been like in this darkness. No one who's not... Will I have sufficient sight to enable me to go on studying?
Yes, if we
can... When can you operate?
After the transplant, the patient is fitted with contact lenses.
When can you operate? Honestly, David, don't you realize what... Well, you're hedging, aren't you? What is it? If. Use that word twice. If. You could perform a keratoplasty if. You could go on studying if.
If there are corneas available.
There's a bank for these things, like a blood bank.
Not like a blood bank. The corneas must be fresh. There's a great shortage, and there's a waiting list.
But why is there a shortage?
A year or so ago, there was a tragedy. I won't go into the clinical details. The public grew wary, squeamish, if you like, about willing their eyes.
And there's already a waiting list. David, how long will I have to wait? Months? Years? Years?
My dear, I don't know.
Yes, you do know. Years. That means I'll never...
I can't come in, can't I? Oh, darlings, I've forgotten how lovely London shops are.
Judging by the parcels in your arms, you seem to have been reminded with pleasure.
I'm afraid I got carried away. I bought 4 of the most divine nighties.
What about those you bought in New York?
Oh, just wait till you see these. Oh, and isn't this lovely? A sprig of white heather for you, Julie. I bought it off a street vendor. I know it's going to bring you luck.
Beth, you're very sweet.
I'm very anxious. David, have you heard from Gavin?
He agrees with me that a corneal transplant is possible.
Oh, Julie, I'm so terribly happy for you.
I'm sorry to butt in, David, but that patient of mine you said you'd take a look at...
Is... All right, I'm coming.
But you two just push off and leave Julie and me to have a chat. Oh, darling. Corneal transplant. I can't think of any news I'd rather hear.
Can't you?
What's wrong?
What else did you buy beside the nighties?
An adorable hat. Describe it. When you've told me what's eating you.
Oh, Beth, they could operate tomorrow and I could see. I could really see. I could go on studying. I could go ahead and qualify.
Only what? There aren't any corneas available.
What do you mean, not available? Just that. There's a shortage. And there are other people ahead of me.
Do you mean that there isn't even one cornea available?
No. Oh, David hasn't said so bluntly. He's trying to let me down slowly. Gently. I shall have to wait years.
Oh,
Beth... I'm sorry to sound so despondent, but you don't know what it's like.
One eye could get you through.
I must pull myself together. Oh, yes, one eye could see me through. What an apt expression, darling, but I can't have that. Not yet, anyway. Now, tell me about that hat, You could never resist a pretty hat.
Oh,
though no one wears them these days.
No. And I shan't be wearing this one.
Well, why ever not?
Oh, too fussy. I'll give it to Hooper.
But you always look marvellous in fussy hats.
Not with specs on.
Specs? You're not going to have to wear glasses.
Oh, I'll have heaps of pairs. Exotic shapes and colours. Oh,
what's got into you, darling? You've always had perfect sight.
Ah, yes, fortunately. Because now I'm going to give part of it to you. Give part of my sight to you.
No. No, Beth, you don't know what you're offering. You have no idea. Unless you've been blinded yourself, you... I can't
can't stay here any longer.
Julie, sit down. You're not going anywhere.
I can't accept. It's madness, and you know it. You have no right to even put the thought into my head.
Is it so repulsive?
Yes, that's what it is, repulsive. The thought of you, half blind.
It's an amazing operation, you know, and David's the most brilliant man. There's really nothing to be afraid of.
I'm not afraid, but it's horrible. A living donor.
It's not unheard of.
I won't listen.
That's just what you will do, my dear. Now then, drink this sherry and start being practical.
Practical?
Look, you haven't a bean of your own and neither have I. But I've always liked looking after you.
Well, let me be independent.
That's just what I'm trying to let you be.
At your expense. Your physical expense. No. Listen, Beth. Blind people are employable in all sorts of ways. Telephonists, touch typing.
At the expense of a first-rate doctor.
What do you mean?
You're almost 30. Even if you go on passing every year, you'll be 33 before you actually qualify. If you have to wait for that transplant, it'll all be too late.
I can resign myself to giving up a medical career. I've got to.
How?
Well, I could even marry Justin.
And sacrifice him, too?
No, but it's what he wants.
You could even marry Justin. Doesn't that speak for itself? You must let me do this.
You said just now that I'd sacrifice Justin for my own expediency. What about you, sacrificing David?
David would understand. Besides, I shan't turn into a Gorgon just because I've lost one eye.
That isn't the point. The idea is repulsive to me, Beth, but tempting. Don't you realize that I couldn't carry such a burden of love?
Couldn't you?
David will never agree. And I thank heaven he won't.
What won't I agree to?
Sherry or scotch?
The latter, I think. What about you, Justin?
Oh, the same, please.
Right, I think. Well, you two must be dying to relax. What a long day you work.
I must say I'm ready to... What won't I agree to, Julie?
I have made a proposal, David.
Yes?
Here you are. Here are your drinks. Justin, David.
Thank you.
I don't want Julie to have to wait for this transplant. I am perfectly prepared to share my sight with her.
Are you quite sure you know what you're saying?
Perfectly sure.
Don't listen to her, David. Don't listen.
Would you really do that, Lady Crossley?
Oh, it's not heroic or remarkable, Justin. It's just that
David, forget that Beth ever made the offer. You know that I wouldn't let her.
If you don't mind, I'd rather not discuss it just
There's
now.
There's nothing to discuss at any time.
You're wrong there, Julie.
I think I'll go to my room. Would you mind? I'm not feeling very sociable.
What about our dinner date?
Dinner date?
You're getting absent-minded, Julie. I've booked a table at the Blue Dragon for 8 o'clock. That leaves you half an hour for changing and dollying up.
Oh, I'll see you upstairs, Julie.
No, I can manage.
That was good of you, Justin.
This is something you and David must talk about alone.
Your tact does you credit, Justin. You realize that Elizabeth's proposal is impossible.
I can't be an impartial judge on this. Not where Julie is concerned. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and phone for a table at the Blue Dragon. Good night, Lady Crossley.
Oh, Justin.
Yes?
Just a minute.
Yes, Lady Crossley?
May I speak plainly?
Yes?
I think Justin will understand, David. You're in love with Julie, aren't you?
Crazily.
Well, don't mention marriage to her tonight.
Beth, really?
Why do you say that?
Well, she's in a state. She might... I know it sounds melodramatic, but... She might say yes in order to... save me. When she accepts you, I want it to be because she realizes she loves you.
I'm not sure that
don't say anything. Just book that table and bless you, Justin.
Okay.
Are you trying to play the Almighty?
David!
You're interfering in two lives. No, four. Because you and I...
I meant what I said to Julie.
It was... It could be a costly impulse.
It was no impulse.
Julie will have to wait her turn. Others have had to. Why should she be any different?
But she set her heart on qualifying.
I dare say,
but... And above that, she's my sister.
And you're my wife. I've made a lot of inquiries. You'd only have to wait 4 years.
Only 4 years?
If you're so concerned about her, let her come and live with us for the next 4 years.
I don't think she'd like that.
Why not?
Well, it wouldn't work. And I myself couldn't take the strain.
Of her blindness?
What else?
You'd get used to it.
You must help me to help her.
You seem to have spent your life doing that. You've been a marvelous sister.
That's all you know.
What are you trying to tell me?
I shouldn't look so very different, should I?
Have you any idea what it would be like going through life with one eye?
I thought you would understand.
I understand that you're being very quixotic and very foolish. And very... Elizabeth.
Oh, David.
Why did you speak to Julie before you asked me, Beth? Don't you think my opinion worth having?
I was afraid that you might shake my determination.
And you didn't want it shaken.
Look, it's the chance I've been waiting for.
Chance? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, and there's no reason why you ever should. Oh, David, you must let me do this. I know exactly what I'm doing. I want to do it. And it's my right to decide.
Is it? Beth, what's your motive?
Motive?
Is this an old feud between you and Julie? Are you trying to make recompense?
Oh, what an extraordinary thing to say.
Ever since our marriage, I've always thought your attitude to Julie abnormally protective.
Oh, you're fancying things, David.
You almost overload her with love, with presents. Now you want to give part of yourself. It's as if you've taken something from her, something that you must replace.
I didn't realize you were so observant.
Am I right?
If I tell you, you'll despise me.
Beth.
I may even lose you.
Beth, what is it?
Those days in Rome, when you first met us, you were interested in Julie.
Go on.
Well, the embassy staff were being moved to Hungary. Both Julie and I were permanent staff. Well, the situation in Hungary was unpleasant.
Yes, I remember. There'd been some trouble, incidents.
I pretended illness to get out of going. They sent me back to London.
Oh, I don't blame you.
I pretended illness to get back to London, to be near you. To continue our acquaintance that had begun in Rome. I knew the value of proximity. I was determined that I would make you fall in love with me.
Oh, darling, you couldn't have done that if I hadn't been more than willing.
But if it had been Julie who was in London, you might have married Julie. She was crazy about you. She still is.
I'm afraid I still haven't grasped the point. Had Julie wanted to, she could have resigned her position on the embassy staff.
Not easily. There was a flap on. Staff had to go where they were sent. She spoke, or she speaks several languages. I was senior to her. I even managed to get the ear of the ambassador himself. Oh, David, I made sure that she was sent to Hungary.
It's all in the past, Beth.
But not to me. My conscience is... Oh, David, it's like a growth. It grows bigger and bigger. It eats at me.
Beth.
Now will you agree to what I want?
My darling, don't you know that you were the girl I would have chosen anyway?
You can say that now, but you don't know.
Of course I know it.
Let me do this for Julie.
No.
Not even if it would give me peace of mind. Oh, David, if you won't operate on me, I'll find someone who will.
Darling, be quiet, be quiet. Doesn't what I've just told you make any difference?
But I was your first and last choice. Oh, if I could only be certain.
You can be.
Our love is strong now. We're sure of each other now, but then... Why do you think Julie never married?
I can't help Julie's feelings for me. I never encouraged... Oh, my dear Beth, what am I to do with you?
Show your love for me by agreeing to do this.
Oh, you must let me think. You had no right to...
With you operating, I should have such confidence.
I couldn't operate.
Why not?
A surgeon never operates on his own wife. You know that. It's an unwritten law.
But only an unwritten one.
Medical man cannot afford to be emotionally involved.
But you're willing to operate on Julie.
You are my wife, whom I love. Julie is my sister-in-law, that's all. That's all, Beth. And I couldn't even operate on her if I thought you were the donor.
I'm going to be the donor.
It's impossible. I can't do it.
Oh, would you let me go to just any surgeon? Oh, David. David, help me bury the past.
You speak as though I were once engaged to Julie. Well, I assure you, I never even considered her as...
But you took her out in Rome.
I took you out, too.
You were impartial then.
Not after we met again in London. Beth. Beth, it was always you.
Always me. When Julie was safely absent in Hungary.
And before. I could have met your sister 1,000 times in London and never... Why do you torture yourself?
I am tortured. I do love her, you know.
And I love you. Oh, why can't we ever strike a balance? Justin, I suppose you know that I've agreed to Beth helping Julie.
I think you both have great courage.
Oh, great madness. Of course, you realize that I can't operate myself. Oh,
David, you must.
And my own wife? Oh, come, Justin. Ethics.
Forget ethics. The circumstances.
I'll hand them both over to Gavin. He's an excellent...
He's a butcher.
Do you think I would allow a butcher to take a knife to Beth? Oh,
that was an exaggeration. I was only drawing a comparison between...
Well, don't. Gavin is a competent man.
I'm aware of that. But one has to be more than competent to do a corneal graft. One needs to be brilliant. He isn't, and you are. Don't underestimate yourself.
Justin, supposing I operated on Beth and something went wrong, I'd be completely unnerved.
What could go wrong?
Unnerved, yet within a few short hours, because the corneas won't keep, I would have to return to the theater and operate on Julie. That's the position.
Only if there's a slip-up, and there won't be. Aren't you overlooking the main objective? Julie's sight. One can guarantee your results, but Gavin's...
By refusing to operate on Beth, you suggest I'm jeopardizing Julie's chances.
I didn't say that.
I think you have said it. I was wrong to give in to Beth's pleas. Wrong.
Why did you?
Because this is tied up with Elizabeth's happiness. In fairness to Julie, I will say that she's fighting this.
I know.
And at the same time, longing for it.
Isn't that natural?
I suppose so. I can't tell you how much I loathe the idea of removing a perfectly healthy organ from my own wife.
And if it was the other way around, if it was Julie giving one of her eyes to help Beth, would you feel differently?
That's not a fair question.
David, would you consider operating on Julie but letting Gavin operate on your wife?
It's better for one man to do both jobs.
Yes.
I wish Beth hadn't such faith in me. You know that I would condemn this in anyone else.
We are not discussing anyone else.
I wish we were. I wish to heaven we were.
David?
Oh, come in, Julie.
I thought I heard your voice too, Justin.
I'm here. Come sit down. Cigarette?
Please, if you light it for me. Thanks. David, I came to relieve you of any decisions you might be trying to make. I'm not accepting Beth's offer.
Did she tell you why she had made it?
Yes. Rome and Hungary are a long time ago. It's forgotten. I'll wait my turn for the graft as others wait.
Julie.
There are some sacrifices it's better not to accept.
Have you any idea how anguished your sister is about that Rome-Hungary affair?
She's got it out of all proportion.
I know that. I know it. But I can't reason with her. Her mind... Let her do this for you, Julie.
David.
It's not an easy thing for me to say.
But you can say it.
For her sake, not yours. And for all your protests, you do want it, don't you?
Don't ask me that.
Nothing matters to you except your sight, does it?
That isn't a fair question.
Does it, Julie?
No. Nothing else matters.
Have you heard how Lady Crossley is?
I'm afraid it's touch and go.
But an eye operation? It wasn't as though she was ill.
She is now. Desperately. She collapsed while Sir David was operating.
You mean he had started and he had to finish?
Can you imagine the horror of it? His own wife. And he never batted an eyelid. He couldn't afford to for her sake. I wish those sixth-year students who think there isn't a thing they don't know could have seen him. That man's a great surgeon.
Mr. Alistair, will she recover?
I don't know. He took all this on against his will. She wouldn't be dissuaded. The man must be nearly demented.
What about Julie? Has he told her?
About Beth? No. She's there in the hospital waiting for the transplant. She must be kept calm. If she learned that her sister is fighting for her life... Oh, that poor man.
Where is he now?
At the hospital, of course.
No, he's not. I telephoned a few minutes ago. They said he'd left. He should be back by now.
It's only a 3 minutes walk.
Oh, I hope he's all right.
You'd better cancel any patients he was due to see this morning. I'll take any that you can't.
I've already seen to that.
I might have known that you'd use your head, Hoopy.
Oh, Sir David, I was worrying about you.
I'm all right, Miss Hooper.
The hospital telephoned.
Elizabeth?
No, Miss Denison wanted to see you.
I'll be back in a few minutes. If you could produce a cup of coffee.
It's ready. Shall I pour it?
No, I can manage.
Your wife, Sir David. I do love her, and if prayers...
Thank you, Hoopy. I'll just have the coffee, and then I'll push off again.
I'll be about if you want me, sir.
All right.
I hoped you were going to try and have a bit of a rest.
Rest?
Because you're operating again today.
Yes, on Julie. You needn't remind me. I shall be all right.
I know that. I wasn't suggesting anything else.
It's probably a blessing that I am operating again today, I mean.
Why'd you say that?
Operating at the sort of tension I've just endured isn't a very pleasant memory. In other words, if you've had a bad fall, you seldom remount unless you do it at once.
You can't mean that.
It's on the cards.
No.
My nerve might snap.
Not yours.
I'm not sure anymore. Was there anything else I could have done? I checked every move we made again and again. I've been sitting in Marylebone Church trying to... Oh, don't look shocked. I often go to church.
Is there anything at all I can do?
Spend a little time with Julie this afternoon. It's her heart.
What?
Elizabeth. Elizabeth's heart, it's in a precarious state. Yet we gave her all the known tests before I started.
She'll be all right.
Will she?
David?
Julie, what the heck are you doing here? You're supposed to be in the hospital.
I made one of the nurse aides bring me over. Is it true about Beth?
Who told you?
The same nurse aide.
I thought I'd covered every possible leak. You've no right to be up and about.
Now that I am, don't be angry. Why didn't you come and tell me about Beth?
I didn't want you to know. If the graft is to be successful, you must be calm.
But David,
I'm your surgeon and you are my patient.
Is she going to be all right? They wouldn't let me see her.
Yes, I think so.
Only think. David,
Oh, don't badger me, my dear. I've been up for hours.
You must rest.
You're going back to the nursing home now.
But you can't go on indefinitely without sleep.
It won't be the first time.
No, but you...
Go on.
You're operating on me this afternoon.
I know that only too well.
David, couldn't you call it off until tomorrow?
The graft must be done on the same day.
I don't think I can face it.
There's no reason why anything should go wrong.
Something went wrong with Beth. David, please rest.
I've got to get back to the hospital now. I'd never forgive myself if...
She's not going to die.
No! Sorry, I didn't mean to shout at you.
Would you rather Gavin operated on me?
Why do you ask? Would you feel happier if he did?
I was thinking of you. You must be worried to death, desperately tired, and anxious to be with Beth.
I'm very willing to operate on you.
It might be better if you didn't.
Very well. Justin, get hold of Gavin for me. Ask him if he can operate on Julie at 4:30.
I'll do that.
I'm going across to the hospital now. See you later, Julie.
Why did you do that to David?
Do what?
Tell him that you'd rather Gavin operated.
Oh, to spare him. Poor darling Beth. Poor David. Justin, will you be there in the theater?
With you? Yes.
Hang on to me, then. I'm so afraid.
Oh, my darling, there's nothing to be frightened of.
How long will it take?
About 3/4 of an hour, perhaps less. Julie... I'll be there. I'll always be there.
Oh, I think I'd like that. The always bit, I mean.
Julie. Oh, darling. Look here, you must get back to the hospital.
You haven't phoned Gavin yet.
What would you say if I told you that I have no intention of phoning Gavin?
You must. All David wants right now is to be with Beth. Don't you realize that?
David is a far better surgeon.
Do you think I don't know that? He can't give of his best today, nor should he be asked to. And tomorrow will be too late. Can't you see that I'm only thinking of David?
Are you?
Justin.
If David doesn't operate on you this afternoon, I don't think he'll ever operate again.
What are you saying?
You see, once a surgeon loses his nerve, he loses everything.
But it's absurd, melodramatic to assume...
Not assuming. He's as good as told me. However, if you want Gavin... Hello? Mr. Gavin's rooms? This is Justin Alistair. I wonder if I might...
Put the receiver down.
Very well.
Take me back to the hospital, please, Justin. And tell David I've changed my mind. I want him to operate.
Is your faith in him suddenly restored?
Isn't that beside the point?
What is the point, then?
That David is more important than I am.
Julie's back in the hospital.
I took her back an hour ago.
You know about Beth?
I don't know what to say to you.
I feel like a murderer. I should never have given in to her, never.
There's no blame attached. David, I'm awfully sorry.
I... Sister found this note among her things. You'd better read it.
You'll fulfill this wish.
Because I loved her, Justin. Because... Oh, help me.
Would you like me to see to this for you?
Yes.
Then I'd better go across to the hospital now.
Julie doesn't know about Beth. She thinks she's still...
I'll keep it from her.
I don't know that I can go through with this now.
I think you can. Because of Beth. Otherwise, won't it all have been for no purpose?
Are you fetching Miss Denison from the hospital now?
I am. It's hard to believe that it's 3 weeks since that ghastly day.
We'll never forget that day. Never. And yet...
And yet what, Hoopy?
Well, the impact of it will fade. In time, everything fades.
Like engagements.
You and Julie?
David's free now. She's always been crazy about him. So I fade out. Fly to South Africa.
You got the appointment.
I did.
Oh, congratulations.
You'd better come with me, Hoopy. I'd be lost without you.
My place is with Sir David.
Like her.
You're barking up the wrong tree, Mr. Alistair. All right, she became infatuated with him when she met him in Rome. But that was years ago. There's been a lot of water under the bridge since then.
But not enough.
Well, I think you're wrong.
You're a wishful thinker, Hoopy.
No, just older than you. And I know Sir David better. His consolation, his life, is his work. Come on, you'll be late at the hospital if you don't get going.
I'm off. David's going to ask me to be present when he makes the final examination of Julie's eyes. I don't want that. Invent a patient for me, Hoopy.
Coward.
That's just what I am.
Justin, you have a minute to spare.
What? Oh, David. Yes, I think so.
Hoopy, will you get us some coffee?
I'll have it ready in a minute.
I had a talk to Gavin this morning. First time I've seen him alone since Beth died. He tells me he could have operated on Julie. He was free and in town.
Yes, I know, sir.
What made Julie change her mind? Do you know?
No, sir, I don't.
Strange. You're a wonderful friend, Justin. I can't think what I should have done without you. As a small boy, Justin, I knew what I was going to be because of another equally small boy. He had an appalling squint that nearly ruined his life. Nothing was ever done about it. And except for confiding in me, he never said a word. I can't tell you the compassion I felt for him or the uncontrollable rage I felt for his father. When I asked him once why he didn't take John to an eye specialist, and he told me to mind my own business. I promised John that one day I'd make his eyes straight. And I did, 12 years ago. Those days are remote now. But I don't feel any different. I knew then that it was my, oh, awful word, vocation. I know it still. And if I hadn't operated on Julie, I would have lost everything.
It's strange to be in this room again.
But it's good to see you here.
Is it?
Beth would think so.
It's always Beth, isn't it? Even now.
It always has been.
Yes. I suppose you know that I once carried a torch for you.
Shall we forget that?
It only went out when... And Justin, I don't know what I would have done without him during those weeks in hospital.
Then you'd better go with him to South Africa.
He's got the appointment.
He just told me. You might think of continuing your medical studies there.
Continuing my eyes are going to be all right.
Once we've prescribed the right contact lenses.
Are you going to do that now?
In a minute. I wanted to talk to you.
It's about second corneal graft, isn't it?
Yes. I think it's time you knew where it came from.
Why didn't you tell me before?
You didn't ask.
I was afraid to ask.
And I was afraid to tell you. I was afraid that the knowledge might delay your recovery, and I couldn't risk that.
David.
Let me finish, please. We found... There was the scrap of paper found among Elizabeth's things. I'll read it to you. If anything happens to me, don't forget that I have willed my eyes that someone else may see.
There were others ahead of me.
And scribbled across one corner of the note in pencil are three words. Let Julie benefit. That's all.
I've cheated myself, but I haven't known. But I have. I wonder that you can bear to look at me.
Perhaps we both owe each other something.
You owe me?
You were terrified at my operating on you in the state I was in. You pretended that you wanted me. Because of that, I beat my fear. I can go on and on.
And I can go on. Because you set aside your feelings for Beth.
No, Julie. I never set those aside. She made you a gift. And someone had to present it. I was the man, that's all. I was the man.
A gift. I'll try to be worthy of it, David. I'll try to be worthy.
The Gift by Mary Lumsden. The part of Elizabeth Crossley was played by Valerie Miller Brown, and that of David Crossley by Harold Freed. As Julie Dennison, you heard Merle Wayne, with Glyn Day as Justin Alistair and Joan Williams as Miss Hooper. The Gift was adapted by Laura Kingsley, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.